This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Last summer, Springfield Medical Care Systems, the parent organization for Springfield Hospital and the local community health center network, filed for bankruptcy. As the bankruptcy proceedings continue through this winter, Springfield Hospital hopes to emerge as one entity, with Springfield Medical Care Systems emerging as another, which controls medical and dental clinics in Springfield, Londonderry, Ludlow, Chester, Rockingham, and Charleston, New Hampshire. But what this dissolution means for the clinics, as the hospital potentially partners with a larger hospital organization, is worrying some people who rely on these clinics for their primary care. Joining us now to help understand what is actually happening is Josh Dufresne, acting CEO of the Springfield Medical Care Systems. Josh, thanks very much for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Thanks so much, Jane. Thanks for having me today.
So, you know, obviously the details of the bankruptcy exit are still very much being worked out, but broadly, do you have a sense of what these now two separate organizations might look like when they leave bankruptcy, the hospital being one and the medical care systems controlling the clinics being another?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's been a long period of time, as you outlined. We filed at the end of June, and we've been working on that exit strategy since then. We are really working hard to make sure that it feels the same to the patients. Springfield Medical Care Systems having their clinics throughout the region, being able to stay there and sustain healthcare to the public, while also working with Springfield Hospital in whatever shape and form it exists in the future. So really working together hand in glove, if you will, very similar to how we have been, to really not affect any healthcare within the region.
So why can't you just stay together then as a sort of hospital and clinic system as one?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, for the most part, there's a lot of components with an FQHC and with a critical access hospital. And an FQHC is a federally qualified health center. That's what we are in the clinics. And Springfield Hospital has its own pieces that it's working on how it may be more effective working with another partner. And so working with another partner gets into a bit of governance components where Springfield Medical Care Systems being an FQHC cannot be led by a hospital, but can lead a hospital. And so that starts to take on a new slant or view in the model that we currently have had. And so Springfield Medical Care Systems is likely to become an independent FQHC, which is much like all FQHCs across the nation.
I see. And so you think, though, that for patients, the idea, at least, is that it will still feel fairly seamless. So what might that mean? You know, healthcare providers sharing records, something sort of closer than just regional proximity?
Right. I think there's some fear among the community now that Springfield Medical Care Systems, if being independent and not necessarily having a hospital as a subsidiary on a company-wide plan, that we won't talk to each other. And that's just simply not true. Springfield Medical Care Systems, while it is its own company now with its own tax identity, it will continue to share information with hospitals. We do that now with other area hospitals, not only just Springfield, but we share records, and we don't do any inpatient care, so we're going to be working with other hospitals in the area, including Springfield. So there will be that continued relationship of patient care information going back and forth as needed. That piece really won't change, and I think that's where there's some concerns, where we focus primarily on outpatient medicine. The hospital focuses on mostly the inpatient component, and we look to make sure that that is seamless to the patient. If you come in and see us into the clinics, we're going to take care of you, and if we feel as though you need some hospitalization or additional emergency care, we're going to refer you to Springfield probably, or we'll refer to you to another hospital that's near us.
It sounds like some of the other concerns, though, are people wondering and worrying if all of the clinics are going to survive through this bankruptcy proceeding. So do you have a sense of if any of the medical or dental clinics in this Springfield Medical Care System are going to face closure?
Yeah, you know, looking at throughout the bankruptcy component and really making sure that we take in every single clinic and evaluate it on the productivity that it has and also financial viability, but also weigh out the need in the community for healthcare. And so we are looking very hard at all of our clinics. I think right now we feel as though all the clinics will be sustained. There are, and when I speak about the clinics, the ones I'm really speaking about our Springfield, well, the primary care, behavioral health, and the dental clinics, those are really the core services that FQHC is focused on, and we'll continue to focus on that. We also have a vision component that we work with. We have school-based clinics that we work with. And we're looking for, especially around the vision component, maybe a community partner to help us share the burden of cost. That's the area that we're trying to be a little bit smarter in. There's not a lot of FQHCs that are in vision. And just basically taking those services and working with other community partners, very similar like what we work with designated agencies around behavioral health, could really help spread the costs in a better way to make sure that there's sustainable health care for our patients.
So it's unclear then what the vision centers might actually look like.
It's unclear. One thing that's certain, though, is we're really working hard to make sure it's continued. And there's nothing worse than a fear of something disappearing, especially in a healthcare component, in my opinion. And so by really making sure that people understand that we're going to be here, we're going to continue to share information with the hospital, and we're going to be working with strategic partnerships if needed for sustainability. But for now, with all of the primary care, behavioral health, and dental, those are intact. In fact, one thing we're really working towards now is we've got four dental chairs that are actually waiting to be installed, but we don't have the funds to install them. So we're actually receiving some grant money little by little and some specific use donation. But once we're able to do that, we're hopeful to really expand our dental population services.
Josh, you also mentioned that there are a couple of clinics that are located that are for children that are, I think you said, located within a school setting. What's likely to happen with them?
Those are likely to continue. They're not necessarily full-time clinics, but it's clinics that we send a pediatrician to or a licensed independent clinical social worker or a dental hygienist. And what we've found is we're able to capture some patients that otherwise would forego care completely. And for me, that's just a no-brainer. We have to be there. We have to take care of those patients because we're really able to stop some, such as in the dental component, we're able to stop some infections before it becomes detrimental to a child. And so that is very likely to continue. In fact, we've been having some outreach from other school districts on some interest of us going into their area, as well as some other hospital locations that may have some interest of our FQHC expanding into their service areas.
You know, I understand that the hospital and the clinics, you know, everybody's working to try to come out of these bankruptcy proceedings in a with more financially stable footing. But all of the pressures that were on the clinics and on the hospital, and many of which led to financial problems, are still going to be there. I mean, we're still facing the same demographics. We're still facing the same kind of income situation for patients, and our health insurance is certainly still tied up in national and state politics. So how do you then come out of this in a way that allows you to feel like you can move forward with stability, both for the structure of your organization, but also for the patients who are relying on you?
Yeah, that's where we get into a little bit of the complexities of healthcare in a small state. But we've, in the FQHC, if we kind of go up one tier and we look at Springfield Medical Care Systems as a company, that company has an FQHC in it, but it also had other things in the company that were non-FQHC services. One of those, is, as an example, is urology. And urology is atypical to being an FQHC. So one of the conversations we've had with the hospital is taking urology out of SMCS and putting it into Springfield Hospital, and that was done. And probably nobody noticed. It was very seamless. And that care is being delivered at Springfield Hospital, but it's no longer in the SMCS company. And that's because you have a higher salary for urology costs, and the reimbursement for urology usually happens in an operating room. And the FQHC is never going to have an operating room. So just really aligning services in the correct company really starts to make sense. That alone will start to position the FQHC to have a long-term sustainability.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing what happens, and I'm sure we'll be continuing to report on this. Howard West Tisman also reporting on this issue extensively for VPR. Josh Dufresne is acting CEO of Springfield Medical Care Systems. Thanks very much for talking with us.
Jane, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.